Could I just get an indication before I start in unfamiliar territory of how many people here actually live on the land or come from the land? Not that many, but some. Okay. The reason why I ask is because obviously the readings today, particularly the Gospel, refers to what we would call agrarian issues, so agriculture, particularly sheep and shepherds. So for those half a dozen people who put their hands up and have had anything to do with sheep, you need to forget everything you know about Australian sheep if you want to understand sheep and shepherds in Jesus' place and time. Because our sheep, whilst they're not the smartest in the world, are very, very different. And the way we manage sheep is very, very different than the sheep and the shepherding that we hear in biblical times. Firstly, it's a pity that the responsorial psalm today isn't the 23rd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." It would have fitted in well, but there's a reason that it's not, and I'm not going to go into that. But when King David wrote that psalm, prior to that, he was a shepherd. And at the time that he wrote the 23rd Psalm that most of you would know, a shepherd was held in great esteem in society. And by the time Jesus walked Palestine, the image and the status of a shepherd had completely turned upside down. Shepherds were seen primarily to be criminals or close to. You would not have a shepherd sit on your jury, whereas in David's time you would want a shepherd on your jury. They were valued. The reason being that by the time Jesus started to walk the earth, shepherds had a reputation of stealing both other people's sheep and putting their sheep on other people's land. So they were seen more as thieves in a sense. And it's important to understand that, because when we talk about managing sheep in Australia, we are so far removed from the biblical image. So please remember that when we talk about sheep and shepherd, it is an image, it is a symbol that is used to help us understand a relationship. And of course the relationship has two dimensions to it. One is the relationship between God and his people. And the other relationship is between God the Father and the Son, Jesus. So if we're thinking of sheep and shepherding, think of relationship in biblical terms. In Australia, that's hard to do because we don't have such a relationship. In biblical times, the shepherd would probably be a similar age a lot of the time to those young boys and girls who went out into children's liturgy. They would be very young to start off with, and then they would have an overseer. They would know the names of each sheep individually. They would know the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd would go first, and then the sheep would follow. It's completely the opposite to what most of us are used to who come from the land. So I'm not trying to overstate it, but it's an image that is used with such passion in Scripture, and we have to be involved in that passion. We have to be a part of it. Now, unless we can do that, we are simply observing a shepherd and sheep. We are watching the relationship. We become part of the relationship once we realise that Jesus is the shepherd. He guards us, he guides us, and he will never let any of us be lost. We need to keep hearing that over and over again. The example that we get in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, which is St. Luke's second gospel in a sense, he wrote his gospel, and then this is book two, the Acts of the Apostles, and you get the beautiful history, the unfolding of the church. And today, in that particular first reading, you get some of the most important lines, I think, that are actually in Scripture, in all of the Scripture. It is because at this point, Paul and Barnabas were with the locals and they presented the word of God to them. And Paul says, to the Jewish people first. and you rejected it. And then Paul turns around and he goes to those that have not known God and says, I bring the word of God to you. They thought that they were the nobodies. In the language in Scripture, it's called the pagans. But they were people who were, we would say, unchurched. Paul goes to the unchurched and says, God's word is for you. You are saved if you believe, if you listen, if you follow. And because Paul turned around and faced those who had not heard God's word before, because he did that, you are here today. Because most of you would not come from Jewish heritage. There may be some who do, but most of us wouldn't. Paul turned around, he faced those people, and he said, this shepherd loves you and gives you eternal life, and he will not let you be lost. We should all find that very reassuring. We are following in the footsteps of a great flock of people who have not known God, but have come to build a relationship with him because of his son, our chief shepherd. I find that so reassuring. It says to me that no matter where we are on this planet, we are welcome. We have to understand that in our complex church, we are welcome. And if we are not seen to welcome others, then we are behaving like those who Paul turned his back on when he faced the pagans. And we must never do that. The good news that we have been given, we must always be seen to be passing it on with a joyous fervour if we can. It's a struggle. Paul says that too. It's a struggle to follow Christ. I don't think I'm telling you anything there you don't know. And therefore, the image of the sheep comes in. It softens it in one sense. We are all open to the safety and the security of the voice that we know and the voice that we have come to love, the voice of God through Christ. For you to be faithful sheep like me, there are only three things that are required. That is to believe, to listen, and to follow.